We're all set.
All right. I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting for February 25th, 2025. The meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chairperson, then state your name and residence. And Planning Commission member Gary Oster is attending remotely. And we will do a call to order.
Done.
Bob.
Gary.
All right. And election of officers. Do we have any nominations?
I will nominate Bob as chair and Gary as vice chair.
All right.
Thanks, Don.
Can we have a vote then? We got a motion.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Any additions or deletions to the agenda? If not, we have two public hearings tonight. The first one is variance application VAR 0125 to expand a pre-existing dwelling and encroach the ordinary high watermark, OHW, level setback for a dwelling addition within the Shoreland Residential Zone District. The subject property is located at 16969 North Eagle Lake Road. Property ID is 221-30559. And the applicant and property owner is Michael and Joan Pedersen. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bethany.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and Planning Commission. The city granted a variance V-04-24 to the property owners, applicants in September of 24 to construct a 24 by 28 dwelling addition. The proposed project has changed, thus requiring additional approvals and a new variance. The applicants are requesting a variance to construct a 24 by 31 dwelling addition within the OHW level setback and moving the deck over to create an 8x8 deck addition to an existing deck on the property. The subject property is 13,320 square feet in a zone Shoreland Residential. The subject property contains a pre-existing 26 by 26 single family dwelling with decks located 77 feet from the ordinary high water level of Eagle Lake, where 100 is required. The proposed dwelling addition is located on the west side of the existing dwelling, and the 8x8 deck addition does not place the deck any further towards the OHW. Also in your packet, you'll notice that the findings that have been provided are the findings that were approved with their original variance.
Okay. What about the conditions?
I think they're the same as you were.
Correct. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I remember
the applicant. I'm sorry, the applicant is here.
Okay, thanks. Looking at the page that I'm looking at right now is 31, and it's the construction drawing, basically the elevation layout. And I remember when we originally looked at this last year, there was question about the distance from, I believe it was a drain field. Mm-hmm. And so yep. So that was modified, it was moved in a little bit with a cantilever, which is shown on the drawing. And then when I look at the size, it looks to me like this is the exact same drawing that we had in 2024, except the dimensions have been crossed out. Where it used to say 28 feet, it says 31.
It says 30, I think. 30 feet.
So was it 30 feet? And now it says 31 feet.
Yep, it is a 31 foot.
31.
Yep, yep.
And originally it was, 31 feet, okay.
And that's what it was last year, was 31 feet also?
If I may interrupt, originally was 28, so the change in the variance were actually, I apologize to the commissioners, when you look at the big survey, it was kind of deceptive. I thought we were 77 feet to the main existing dwelling, and if you look at there's some enlargements on that was like on page 20, there's a survey, and if you look a couple prior to that on page 18, an enlargement, it's actually the 77 feet is to the deck, so we were originally set back further than we thought. I apologize, and a lot of the measurements were taken for that. So the original variance was approved at 72 feet. Well, actually, if this goes through at 31, we'll actually be 77 feet, so further than that. But we are adding that additional 3 feet. It was approved at 28. The building drawers submitted these, or we're working on these plans at 30. So looking at 31, we're adding an additional 72 square feet. But we'll still be behind that setback averaging line. We ran into some issues in terms of cost and topography that we were originally going to do a full basement under the addition, and due to money and just the terrain, that's going to be too difficult. And so we're looking at, on this drawing, a crawl space, you know, possibly the southwest corner, we'd put in a small full basement, but. So in losing the space, we were wondering, you know, looking and asking for 31 feet with the same original width of 24. This also, there's a correction on page 10. It lists the impervious as 14.9%. I think we show the calculations are on page 21 are actually 14.79, it would increase to, so still under 15. And then the second part of the variance we were asking about, since we originally had an L-shaped deck of over 200 square feet, we're going to lose the entire thing on the west side. We're asking for 8 more feet there, again, being no more closer than the 77 feet. We'll end up at 176 square feet total on the deck if we are able to add that additional 8 feet. I think on page 5 it said the deck requested on the west side. In the middle paragraph there, it's actually on the south side as per the drawings.
Yeah, on the west side. Was Fred able to join us or not?
He was not. He said if he didn't do this attempt, then he would just find it out tomorrow.
Should I say something? I lost my train of thought. Did you get any response from any of the neighbors?
We received no comments on this. We did receive a comment back from the DNR saying that they have no comments.
No comments. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Gary or Don, any comments?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay.
No, I don't have any questions. It's 72 feet, 77. I don't think I have any new questions, really.
Okay. Don, anything else? Or?
No.
Well, I'll open up the meeting to public comments. That probably would be very short. There's nobody here. So we'll close the public comments. And I don't know if there's any further discussion amongst the board. Findings of facts, we can go through those, but we did that in 2024, so it's in the packet, so I'm not sure we need to do that.
conditions, the three conditions.
So I'll ask for a motion, I guess.
I recommend approval of variance 0125 with the 11 findings of fact, 11 conditions, and three findings of fact.
Three conditions, right?
Three conditions and 11 findings.
Yep, 11 facts and three conditions.
Yep. Well, I will second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thanks, Gary. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. The next item is Ordinance Amendment 2051-1, 080225, for the creation of public and park zoning district within the City of 50 Lakes. The applicant is the City of 50 Lakes. With that, I'll turn it over to you.
Excellent. So in December, the City approached the Planning and Zoning Department with a proposed storage container to be located on city-owned land near the fire hall maintenance area to accommodate the storage of the Firefighters Relief Association's gambling supplies. The proposed structure placed on a commercially zoned property would require both a variance from the 20-foot structure-to-structure setback and a conditional use permit. Many cities, in order to better facilitate city projects on city land and not spend taxpayer money on undue processes, have created public zoning districts to outline performance standards and uses appropriate for their city's needs. Based on the proposed storage container and the future needs and projected growth of the city, staff asked City Council to pass a motion initiating the zoning ordinance amendment process to create a public zoning district. At the regular council meeting, council directed staff to create this land use district. The following documents are a draft of the proposed ordinance changes. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission revise as needed and recommend approval to the City Council. So tonight we're only looking for a recommendation to the City Council. And if you notice, there are there's a copy of the mock-up, which would show all of the proposed changes in red and underlined. Any strike-throughs would be eliminations, but I don't believe there was any. We didn't remove anything. We just added this zoning district. After that, there is a clean copy. Maybe I didn't include the clean copy. I did not include the clean copy. So it is just that markup to show you what we're adding. Or actually, no, there is a clean.
Pages 49.
I need to.
You don't have the.
Okay. One. Yep, there is a clean copy, and then there is the summary. I'll include it in your packet. So the Public and Parks District would be a land use district for existing use of city or public land for a public. Or for land properly suited for public facilities, parks, and open spaces, and other locations for public or semi-public use. Such uses shall include, but not be limited to, parks, nature areas, city buildings, and facilities for public recreation. What I would like to do tonight is to go through the land use matrix,
okay.
Making sure that you are all okay with what has been proposed. I just went through our existing land use matrix, so we didn't add or take anything away from the land use matrix as it is, and we just did what we proposed for use as far as permitted, allowed, and whatnot. Following that, I'd like to go through the public and parks, the proposed 5.03. This gives the intent and purpose, it gives the lot size requirements, it gives all of those performance standards that will apply to all city-owned land. We can go through that, and then I can kind of tell you, I did run this by the DNR. They said they officially, it doesn't impact shoreline at the present, so they didn't feel that a formal review was necessary, but he did offer me verbiage change in there. So we did go ahead and include that, and I'll point that out when we get there. Do you have any questions right now?
I don't think so. I had a couple comments on the land use, but if you want to go through them first, or do you want me to bring that up?
We can talk about, basically, you have a couple categories in your land use matrix for the city of 50 Lakes. You have permitted, which is a P, it's denoted by a P. An N is no. CU means it's allowed, but with a conditional use permit, I believe. I is an interim use. A is just an allowed use without, so we've got those in the column. It's important to note that in answer to your comments, if you want to just talk about that right now, we can...
Yeah, as I went through the land use matrix here with the new CU column I added for the parks district, I saw golf miniature and it said not allowed. And I just thought, well, maybe someday down the road, being out, we have a little park now, and if that fire hall isn't there at some point in the future, would the city be interested in maybe putting up a mini golf or an outdoor, what I want to call it, virtual golf thing where you put up a screen and hit into it?
Yeah.
You know, down right now, I think those are all indoors. Technology might allow them to be outdoors. Would the city still be able to come back later? Should that come up 20 years down the road? Could they come back and just go through this whole process again? Is that
most definitely. So the city can adjust their land use matrix and assign uses to certain, you know, land use districts anytime that they see fit. So I mean, that could be a city initiated process. City council usually directs staff in that regard. The important thing to note, though, because you mentioned like the theaters, and I know like Cross Lake does some outdoor theater, and that's kind of fun in the summer. You're able to do that on city-owned land. I don't know if the city requires an event permit for that, but that's not to be. It's not a commercial venture.
Right.
Does that make sense? So you added tennis courts, or you added a new playground equipment, or you added the mini golf. Let's say you just had mini golf, and people could bring their own little putters, and that was just a city. You know, that would need to go through the Parks Committee, and then you just put it in there, as long as it's not a commercial business venture. And then if in the performance standards, I do note, because you do have an enterprise fund, the bottle shop, and so the city does have to maintain commercial standards for, you know, commercial uses in that regards. But as far as, you know, the pickleball courts, that's not... It would be if somebody bought the land across the street and opened a pickleball court for profit. That's totally different than the city running things on their private property.
Okay. That was my only comment.
So what I have is for accessory structures, I just have those permitted. There are setbacks in the performance standards, but now you don't need to have a conditional use permit to get an accessory structure on the property. The rest, all the columns, I'm just going to skip through where there's no. I don't think I need to read through any of those unless somebody has something that they want to talk through.
No.
Okay. A cemetery is a conditional use. If the city ever got property and decided to have a city cemetery, we'd have a public hearing. You'd go through that process. The public would be able to voice their opinion, which I think would be important for a city maintained cemetery. Another one would be the community recreation center. If you ever created a recreation center, that would be a CUP as well. Deck or patio, if the city wanted to put a deck, freestanding, or a patio in the park, just a permit would be required. Dirt moving would pretty much follow any shoreland rule, right? We just kept those as they were.
I have a question. Are rocks considered part of dirt?
Depending on what you're doing. So for riprap, the city specifically in the ordinance says that any riprap placement of over 10 cubic yards requires a CUP.
Okay.
So that does include just the rock in that regard. But dirt moving generally refers to dirt and materials. Mm-hmm. So it's a combined total of what you're moving. Okay, so then we have driveway would need a permit as well on city-owned land. If you put energy systems, so a solar system, you would need a CUP. Forest management would need a permit. That is the same across the other land use districts. Government buildings would need a CUP. I just basically tried to think of where the public would want to voice their opinion, where it's really important. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, we'll keep the CUPs on that. Then down liquor sales, on sale, of course, CUP. Mobile food unit placement of, that is allowed because you already have a process for that on city-owned land, so that was taken care of. Outdoor seasonal sales, I did put an IUP. I don't know what the city would do, that they'd want to do some outdoor seasonal sales, but if you sold bird seed seasonally, I don't know, or if you had some, like a farmer's market in the city and you wanted to do something like that, that you just need an interim use permit. Mm-hmm. Parks and historic sites is a CUP. That just is standard process. Public beach would also require a conditional use permit. Public parking would require a permit. Recycling center or a collection site would require a conditional use permit. Restaurants, I did leave that on there as a CUP, as you currently have a restaurant, so I wanted to make sure that that was an allowed use. Schools, education buildings would also be conditional use. Signs on site require a permit. Public identification or information signs needs a permit. Telecommunication towers, so if you decided to put a cell tower on city-owned land, you would need a CUP. Water-oriented accessory structures would also need a permit. And I believe everything else that's on the land use matrix would not be allowed on city-owned land. Any questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. The land use performance standards, the intent is to establish and maintain a land use district for publicly owned property and land uses. If you're fine with that definition, do you want me to read the whole?
I think it's fine.
Okay. As far as the setbacks, we left the setbacks where appropriate as they had been. That's a 35-foot road right-of-way setback. The setback of the side yard and the rear yard was changed to 10 feet. Setback for sign is 1. Setback for parking from the building or lot line is 0. The wetland setback is 20 feet. We did increase the impervious coverage to 60%. Building height is 35 maximum, and of course you need to build 3 feet of water separation. So, performance standards, there's addresses pedestrian amenities, it addresses lighting. It also says business uses on public property shall be subject to the performance standards listed in commercial use standards, just to make sure that we're being consistent in that approach. Residences shall not be allowed, whereas residences above a commercial venture are allowed in your ordinance in commercial uses, but in public we're not going to allow residences. Any portion of public land located within shoreland is subject to Chapter 8 shoreland management standards of this land use ordinance. Currently there is no city-owned land located in shoreland, and we are not proposing any zoning map amendments tonight regarding shoreland. Just wanted to make sure that this would be comprehensive if the city ever did acquire land in shoreland. And then impervious coverage is 60%, but would have the ability to increase that to 75% through a land use permit if a list of the following is provided. Those are the same requirements for commercial mixed use across the street. This would allow you to have a stormwater plan that could accommodate the 75% and then proceed with the project should the city ever have that.
If we could back up to that shoreland,
yep.
Item D, wasn't it sometime in the last 10 years, I think it was Mitchell Lake, it had to do with, I don't know if it was a road going through there, but there was some property there that looked like it might be city property. Or maybe it was tax forfeited.
I know you're all
talking about maybe having a park there at some point.
That I'm not sure. I know there was a heck of an ordeal just you know, that road, and I wasn't aware of anything else other than that.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure. But I know the city didn't buy it, but I thought there was some talk about it because it really wasn't buildable land, if I remember right. All right. So...
any thoughts? Anything you feel should be changed, amended, looked at? We're looking for, like I said, a recommendation to City Council. Want to make sure that, you know, everything looks good to you.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have a question. Bethany, is there any advantage to the city if we reduce that impervious from 60 to 30. Are there any advantages anywhere within the
That would be a disadvantage to reduce impervious. Currently, the city properties are zoned commercial, which would allow 50% impervious. The 60% just gives the city a little bit more leeway. You know, if there was ever city-owned property in Shoreland, the impervious would be different, and that's where you'd be protecting public water, you'd be protecting those resources. Currently, the city properties that are zoned commercial aren't in shoreland, and as long as the stormwater created by impervious surfaces is effectively treated, either through a stormwater management plan, you can require a stormwater management plan if that's something that you're more comfortable with.
Yep,
you can require just a stormwater management plan, which doesn't necessarily need to be engineered. You can get really strict and you can require an engineered stormwater plan, but that's up to you. But I think at this point, if you reduced it to 30%, you'd make nonconformity. And so I wouldn't recommend that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'll open it up to public comments.
My comment would be, I think this is a great thing. It would certainly help the city streamline the process with this construction we're having going on this summer. You know, it just, we're just able to kind of do it, and we don't have to take a lot of Bethany's time to go through the process of permitting everything. This just kind of, it just makes it a lot easier for us to build, and it'll save us money on her wages. You know, she won't have to spend the time doing all of these things. So, you know, I think it's just a good advantage to the city.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just to be very clear, all of these projects still require permits, right? So they will still be vetted. Everything will go through the permit process. We'll make sure that all of, you know, the city's resources are being protected, and that's the main goal. And make sure that the use is consistent with, you know, safety and, you know, access. But what we're really looking to streamline, like Gary mentioned, is just the public hearing process. If it's not necessary, you know, to put a accessory structure, you know, right, just to be able to issue those permits. And
you know, I hope that the city, as it continues forward, will be as, you know, recognized the value of our land and stuff, and wouldn't do anything foolish.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So we need a motion to recommend.
I recommend the City Council approve ordinance amendment 080225.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, John. The next item is the zoning map amendment, ZMA03-25, to rezone three city-owned parcels from commercial zoning district to public parks zoning district. The subject properties are located at 16785 County Road 1, and the parcels are 2225-0517, 2225-0516, and 2225-0500. With that, Bethany, this is basically the map, just to make the map match what we just...
Correct. So we can run these applications concurrently. So this would be contingent upon the establishment of the public park zoning district. But the City of 50 Lakes is seeking to rezone the commercial zone parcels that you just mentioned to public and parks zoning district. The purpose of and the intent of the public and parks land use district is to establish and maintain a land use district for publicly owned property and land uses such as city-owned facilities and buildings, parks, and recreation areas. Public and park zone properties are compatible with and can be established adjacent to every other zoning district. So this is not an example of spot zoning, and any property that meets the purpose and intent of the zoning classification may be zoned public. Staff is asking the Planning Commission to recommend approval to the City Council. Just as a reminder, you cannot condition a zoning map amendment, so there aren't any conditions on this. There are plenty of findings. We can go through theirs, but there are no conditions allowed on a zoning map amendment.
I'll make a motion for zoning map amendment ZMA-03-25 to bring this to the council for approval.
With the 10 findings of fact.
The finding of facts. 10 of them.
So this is contingent on approval of ZMA-03-25.
Yes, it is.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Gary. Open forum. Approval of the minutes from November 26, 2023.
I really have nothing at this time.
I've heard that before.
I think you've got to keep hearing it.
All right, Bethany, Planning and Zoning Administrator's report.
Yes, thank you. There have been some year-to-date land use permits that have been issued. I believe there are three that have been approved. There are two that are pending. One is incomplete. I went out and did a site visit. There was an unpermitted structure located within the OHW, like a what would be a water-oriented accessory structure. They had just purchased the property in the fall. They had no idea they had a non-conformity on their property, so they inherited it. So we're working with them. They pulled their application for the other accessory structure they were applying for in the summer, or closer to the spring when they're up here more. They're going to come in and take care of both of them. They'll do an after the fact for the one. If they want to, they may just move it to a conforming location too. So they're unsure of what they want to do, but they've been great. You know, it's sad when people inherit these problems, and you know, land use doesn't have a statute of limitations, and so they are responsible to bring their property into compliance. But so we're happy to work with them to do that. I don't feel that we need to be punitive in any way, just kind of help them resolve those issues. So that one's pending, and then we have another one pending, just verifying some wetland setbacks. I went out and I measured the other day, and it didn't meet wetland setbacks, so we're seeing if we can move the project and move forward with that. Other than that...
So this structure, the first one you're referring to, they purchased the property with a non-conforming structure, and yep. They have to bring it up to code?
They do. So it is the property owner's responsibility to bring their property into compliance. Okay. Like I said, the state of Minnesota doesn't have statute of limitations on land use, and so it can be... you know, 15 years old, but if it was a legal existing nonconformity, those are protected, right? So you're allowed to the continuation of those. But assessor photos showed a very nice new structure that some, you know, the prior owners had built it without getting permits, and this happens quite often.
Yeah, I would say that's a common occurrence.
Yeah.
And the new homeowner has to make it up, correct it, which is kind of a... Is that the way it's commonly done?
Yeah, there's things that can be done. In my past experience, you don't necessarily need to charge them the triple after the fact fee, right? They're just recent, they didn't know.
But they have to move it, or they just have to get it?
Well, if it's allowed to be permitted, they can get a permit for it. Mm-hmm. And you can ask city council to waive the after the fact fee, right, the triple the fee or whatever the ordinance requires. So there's ways that cities can work and be just a little bit more diplomatic in those situations, and I tend that works out well because it isn't unfair. And a lot of people don't know. I mean, how many times have you bought a house and called the city just to see if there were any nonconformities on your property? You know, people don't usually do that, and they don't understand.
I had some folks that bought a brand new place up in Outing. They had a beautiful screen porch sitting right on top of the hill on the ice ridge. Mm-hmm. And the county, I think, was there, made them tear it down. And he said, that's a big reason we bought this property, because it was such a beautiful, and they had to tear it down.
It's a bummer.
It was really sad.
So, like I said, I just try to work with them more than anything, tell them it has to come down. And so they're undecided as to where they're going to keep it, because it is movable. They could move it.
That wouldn't apply to a pre-existing non-conforming.
Correct. So anything that was built and put in place prior to the establishment of local controls would be considered a legal existing non-conformity. Yeah. And you are allowed, I mean, statute protects those, and so you're allowed for the continuation, the maintenance, and even the replacement.
Because you've got plenty of those.
Yeah. Most of everything is that. just doesn't allow for the expansion of those uses.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep. So if that's something that, you know, we'd like to, you know, if ever that comes up, we would have to have city council waive those fees. I can't make that decision. But if that's something that if anybody's interested in, you know, we could waive that for people who have just purchased property who are working towards remedying the situation. It's up to you. That's, you know, if city council would entertain that, and can be on a case-by-case basis if people ask for it.
How are the permits going? Are they picking up or pretty slow? Or
I'm getting a lot more calls, but still pretty slow. You know, I think the warm weather.
That's going to get, you know, this cold spell we had. Everybody's staying home under the covers.
Yeah, I think people will start calling soon. So. Usually by middle of March, things pick up pretty
well. Yeah, even when in my business, I don't even expect to hear the phone ring yet, not until nearly April, or if we get a really nice March. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. you have any questions for me?
I don't think I do. No. Don?
No.
No?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn. We need a second. We don't have to vote on it. We need a second.